Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Michelle Murray. I am your host, and you are listening to Shell's 3 Cents. So some interesting stuff going on around the greater Los Angeles area. The Los Angeles Department of Water and Power and the city attorney's office woke up to FBI raids this morning, and that all stems from that 2013 overbilling scandal. And some of you might remember thousands of ratepayers were overcharged when the billing system rolled out in 2013. And what happened was there was a fallibility in that software, which caused everybody to pay thousands of additional dollars in fees. So now there's a lawsuit between the city and the people who originated that software, which has led to the raid this morning where they confiscated records. So keep a watch for that, and hopefully you all get some refunds going, and that works out in our favor. Also, there's going to be an increase to beach parking fees. Los Angeles County votes to increase beach parking fees by $1. That's only on weekdays or during the winter. It's not going to be during the summer when the beaches receive their most visitors. However, the California Coastal Commission must first okay any parking fee increases approved by the board before they can go into effect. So the earliest you might see this take place is in about a month. So keep posted and remember to keep that extra dollar in your car so you can keep up with that. And then also, we've been hit by all kinds of earthquakes lately. So we've had about 80,000. That's right, you heard me, 80,000 aftershocks, and we're still counting that have happened since that Ridgecrest earthquake happened. So stay alert, stay vigilant. Mayor Garcetti puts out some really good information on his website about impending earthquakes, because, folks, it's not a matter of if the big one's going to happen. It's a matter of when. And those of you who were alive in 94, when we had such a mess, you should be able to appreciate what's happening now. So have your go bag ready. Make sure you are prepared to evacuate or sustain yourself if something major happens and the power grid is not available to you. So stay safe. Stay safe and take care of yourselves. Which leads me to today's topic, staying safe. Now, you all know that I absolutely detest people who lie and people who prey upon others, especially those who are weaker than them. So today you're going to hear a little story. Not really a once upon a time sort of story. This story is going to get your blood elevated. So there I was, minding my own business. You know, I'm a screenwriter. So what do? I write TV shows for a living. Every once in a while I write a novel here, a novel there, but I write for a living. My son is a media designer and an actor, so of course, you know, we complement one another in our own production company when we're not working at one of the studios. Well, and you also know that in my spare time, I love my Boy Scout activities. I like to hike. I like to be outdoors. I love the beach. I like my Rotary philanthropy activities. I like to volunteer and give back. And I also love to teach the students at my church. On Wednesday night, I have a group of high school students that I teach at church. Well, a few weeks ago, one of my students contacted me and she says, "Miss Michelle, can you please meet with this man, please? I just need you to talk to him." So I said, "Okay, what man? Who is this man?" And she tells me, "Well, I really needed this job for the summer, and so this man is going to run for president, and he hired me to kind of run his campaign, but I don't know what to do. He's got me trying to contact senators and do this and do that, but, like, I'm just a high school student, so I don't even know what to say." And so I told her, I said, whoa, stop right there. And I said, "Can I call him?" And she said, "No, well, actually, could you just meet with him? Because I think he wants to ask you some questions, too, because I know you have experience." So I said, "Okay, sweetheart, sure, we'll meet." So we set the day and time for me to meet this man. So the first thing was he was 32 minutes late. So anybody out there listening that has ever worked for me, especially a former soldier of mine, you know I don't like dealing with people who are late. My time is important. I'm doing many, many things. I have many demands upon my time. So I took note that he was 32 minutes late, and of course I absolutely chastised him for it. And then he explained to me he didn't know the location of the place where we were meeting, which we had arranged at least a week prior. So I got onto him for that, and I said, well, I understand you want to be president, but you didn't take the time to recon the area. You didn't take the time to Google it, like just pull it out on your phone to see where it is. And it's actually on a major thoroughfare. It's right where the highway is. It's an exit right there on the corner. I'm not going to get into the location, but it's a major location that everybody knows. So I said, okay, what are we meeting for? And he said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, look, here's the deal. My high school student contacted me and said that you've kind of hired her to run a presidential campaign. And he said, well, yeah. And I said, well, no. And I said, she doesn't quite know what to say to you. But listen, you can't put those kind of demands on a high school student. And she'll soon be in school. Summer doesn't last forever. You know, there's companies for that. So I explained that whole process to him. And he asked if he could hire me. So my first question was, have you looked at my website or my Facebook? And he said, no. And I said, okay, so you don't even know who I am or what I do. So you might want to pull out your phone, look at my Facebook and website, and then tell me if you think I could possibly help you. Because mind you now, I'm a screenwriter. I like to tell stories and make comedies and dramas. That's my thing. But we do have a media design department. And I've got two really talented people that take care of that for us. So he looked it over and he says, oh, wow, wow, wow. I didn't know you did this. I didn't know you did that. Well, of course you didn't, because you didn't do your research. So he said, well, I want to hire you to run my campaign. And I said, why? And he said, well, I don't know. The student, I'm not going to call her name, the student says you have experience. Okay, well, I do have experience, but we don't even know each other. And I said, so let me ask you a few questions and see where you stand. He gave me the most ridiculous answers I've ever heard in my life, because no matter what I asked him, he said, well, the answer is just to be kind. We need to teach people to be kind to one another. If the general public can learn to be kind and not bully each other, we'll be good. That was his answer for education. That was his answer for national defense. That was his answer for foreign relations. That was his answer for the economy. And I could barely contain my laughter. I actually wound up coughing and almost choking because his answers were so hilarious to me. And I told him so. I told him, your answers actually sound very foolish to me, so no, I'm not going to be the one. And so then he says, well, look, can I at least hire you or your employees to do my media design, because I don't have anything designed for advertising, and you just told me that I need some research, I need to learn, so maybe can I pay you guys to get me spun up on some things, and then I'll be in a place like I can move on, you can tell me what company to hire or whatever. And I told him, sure, that's fine, but please understand, this doesn't mean we're going to vote for you, doesn't mean anything of the sort. We're going to do these things. And I said, so I'm going to need to do a contract so that you and I are clear on what I'm doing. He said, oh, yeah. So we made a date and time like 2 days later for me to get the paperwork to him. And I told him we'd meet in person because I need a wet signature, as that's, you know, enforceable in court. So I drew up the initial contract. And then he said, well, look, okay, I'm not going to use a student, and I had hired this other girl, but she felt like she was intimidated by you, like she's just overwhelmed. She, you know, doesn't know what she's doing. Could I please hire your team just for even just a few weeks? Can I please hire your team to just help me? And I said, look, guy, you're not in the position. You're not ready. And he said, no, I know, but can I hire your team to kind of help me get ready, to kind of prep me or whatever. He says, because I don't know what I'm doing. And I said, you know what, I got to talk to my team. And I went back, I talked to my team, and of course they said they'd accept the assignment. So I drew up the contract, and the short version was for everything that he required, that meant I needed to hire 7 people. So my people who were working full-time greatly discounted their rate, kind of as a favor, because he was begging and pleading, and he could pay, but, you know, he probably couldn't do as much as they were worth, but could we please work with him? Anyway, they agreed. So each person said they would do the work for $1,000, $1,000 a month, and, you know, it should only take this amount of months to get it done. So I drew up the contract, I brought it back to him, and the price, as stipulated, the contract says, you know, he needs to pay a deposit up front, and then all monies are due on the 25th of the month prior for the following month. So this is the tail end of June when he and I got together. So this meant by June 25th, he needed to pay the $7,000 for his services for July. And he said he understood that. I had gone over all of that when we first met in person. There was zero confusion on anyone's part. And every single duty was explicitly spelled out. My contracts are very thorough. So when we met to sign the contract, and I had to take time out of my day to make a special meeting, because he couldn't bother himself to stop and come to where I was, I needed to go to his side of town. So I made this special trip to deliver the contract and get it signed. And I even reminded him when I headed that way, hey, you know, you need to pay the deposit. No, okay. So when I get there, he says, well, I don't really understand why I have to pay a deposit. Well, that's it. First of all, it's a good faith payment that you're actually going to pay us in the end. And second of all, there are fees associated with what you're asking me to do. I'm not going to come out of pocket for that. Like, this isn't even something I volunteer to do for people on a regular basis. So if you want us to do it, you're going to provide and buy the tools to do it. And, you know, he didn't understand, like, my media design team, there's certain things they're going to need exclusively for him, like hard drives and certain things. And he said, oh, well, it's because I don't have it. And I said, what do you mean you don't have it? And I said, I said, you're wasting my time. I told you all of this ahead of time. And he said, well, no. I just don't have it today. It's because I sold my practice for $1.5 million so that I could run for president. And this was on Wednesday when we met. He says, and I should have that money in the bank on Friday. They've already started the process. Everything will be there on Friday, so I can pay you on Friday. And I said, oh, okay. I said, you know what? Yeah, that's fine. We can wait till Friday, but you need to pay that. And then by the 25th, which was in a few days, I need you to go ahead and pay the amount. And he said, okay, no problem. So on Friday morning, he contacts me and was like, can I Cash App you? And I said, what is a Cash App? I don't know what that is. And I said, no. I said, you can do a check like a normal person, a cashier's check, or I can set it up where you pay on our website. And I said, because there's many reasons, I need to have a paper trail here. I don't know what a Cash App is. I'm not going to do that. So no. And he said, oh, okay. So it got to be about dinner time, and he hadn't contacted me about the payment. And I called him back, and he said, oh, you know what? I'm going to give it to you tomorrow. And I said, okay, that's fine. So the first thing he does, there's an area of town called the Devil's Triangle. And he messages me, I can't meet at that location. Can you meet me in the Devil's Triangle? No, it's called the Devil's Triangle for a reason, and it's the middle of the night. I'm not going over there, because by the time he finally messaged me, it was going on 9 o'clock. And so the short version, no payment that night. So then on Sunday when I'm going to church, I send him a message, and I said, well, I need you to get with me by tomorrow so we can pay it. So we set up a time to meet on Monday, and he comes, and he says, you know what? It's because the bank didn't actually put the money in my account yet. But I'm going to get it to you. So I said, okay, if you don't have it by tomorrow, I need you to make some sort of payment. So we met the following day, and he says, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to just tell you the truth. I'm trying to do a line of credit. I already started the process. They needed one more document. I took it to them yesterday, and they told me it'll be like 72 hours, and I'm going to have the money. And I said, so you don't have any money to pay my people who've already started working for you? And he said, no. And I said, that's not going to work for me. He said, no. I'm telling you, 72 hours, and I got it. Just let's meet up Friday, and it'll be good to go. So I explained to my people, hey, listen, this guy just sold his business for $1.5 million. Apparently, he can't get it all up front. He's just waiting on some kind of line of credit. But you know what? He's a doctor, so I think he's good for it. Whole team agreed. Guess what? Just nothing but excuses after that. And so he did, in fact, I told him, I said, well, look, I'm going to give you a couple more days, but this can't go on. But the team needs things. They need items. They need hard drives and whatnot. So I did get that. I did get that from him. And then I had to go out of town. So I messaged him before I went out of town. I said, look, you're already heading into your next due date. Instead of $7,000, you're about to owe us $14,000. I need to get a payment. I'm not going to be able to have people keep working without a payment. No, I'm going to get it to you. This was on the 19th. No, I'm going to get it to you. What day do you come back? So I came back on the 20th, and he said, no, I'm going to pay you. And I said, okay, fine. Then the day before that, he tells me, you know what? I'm a little confused about the contract. I don't know what services you are providing. I think you're going to have to provide me an itemized list. And I said, look at your contract, and you'll know exactly what we're doing. And he said, no, before I pay, I need an itemization. So I stopped what I'm doing. I'm at a conference in Dallas, Texas. I stopped what I'm doing at the conference, and I send him an itemization. And he says, okay, all right, I'll get this paid. Well, the next morning, he says, you know what? Actually, I can't pay that like that. Like, I need an invoice. I need you to give me something that says invoice. And I said, okay, I will give you that. Because now he had just asked me for itemization, so it said billing itemization. So now, basically, same thing that, you know, now says other words. So I sent him the invoice, and I electronically sent it to him because I'm in Dallas. He's in El Paso. And then he tells me a few hours later when I checked about the payment, he says, oh, well, no, I don't. I misplaced it. I don't have it. How you misplace something electronically, only God knows. But I sent it to him again. So by now, my staff is kind of like antsy, right? And so I tell him, I said, you know what, we need to do a video call so you can tell my staff directly what's going on, because I don't know. I don't know what's happening with you. You just keep lying to me. And I need you to confirm you're going to pay them. So now this was on the 21st. So we do the video call, and he starts off that, no, and I understand the contract and this and that. But you know what, no, I'm not going to pay. So as soon as he says that, what do you think happens? My staff gets in an uproar, and everybody's upset, of course, because they've worked the whole month of July for free. So he got off the call, and I contacted him again, and he says, I don't understand why you're talking to me so strictly. I don't understand why you're so upset. Well, I'm upset because you just blurted out on the conference call that you're not going to pay my people. And he says, yeah, because you know what? I don't even know if that contract is valid. So, of course, I began to laugh because I didn't make that contract myself. I actually had an attorney do it who knows the law, and I've never had a problem with any contract. So I told him, I said, well, I assure you the contract is legal, and you're going to be bound by it. So I need full payment because, like, I'm not going to be playing games with you. So he says, okay, in the morning. We'll do another conference call in the morning. So my whole staff is planning to sit and hear from him in the morning. And literally, one of my employees tells me, hey, Ben is calling me. I'm going to call you right back. Let me tell you what he says. While he's on the phone with her, he messages me on Facebook and says, I'm not doing a conference call, and I'm not paying anybody. Meanwhile, he has my employee on the phone saying, no, I don't know why Michelle has you thinking I'm not going to pay, because I am going to pay, I promise. And so she tells me what he says, and I was like, what? So I sent her a screenshot of what he just said. So now we have huge concerns because, you know, what is going on? So I contact him again by phone, and I said, okay, look, here's the deal. I'm not going to even press you for August. Just you need to pay July, and we'll work everything out after that. And he says, no, I don't want to work with you because you're mean, so I'm not going to pay. What? I'm mean, and you're not going to pay. And he says, yes, because you talk really strictly to me, and you're really rude to me, and you belittle me. And he continued to talk, and I said, oh, my goodness, you kind of act like somebody who's a sociopath, like just no concern for others. And then, of course, he was upset and said, I'm not crazy and this and that. And he says, no, I'm not going to work with you anymore. And so I said, well, listen, that contract has a clause, and it tells you you got to give us 2 weeks' notice, and there's a procedure. I said, so go ahead and do that in writing procedure, and the clock will stop, and we'll call it good. Pay what you owe, and we'll cut sling today. And he said, okay, fine. So I asked him, I said, so when can I expect the payment? He says, no, I'm going to make it tomorrow. So it's the next morning. I said, okay, do you want me to put it on the website? Or are you bringing me a check? How are you going to pay me? He says, no, I'm not paying. I don't think anybody did any work. And I said, what? I said, we've delivered work. You're using the logo that we created. And he says, no, I just don't believe that. No, it wasn't worth it. No, and you can't hold me to this contract. And so, again, I start laughing, and I say, yeah. And so I tell you what, no, I'm not going to hold you to the contract, but the state of Texas will hold you to the contract. And he says, oh, am I supposed to be scared of you? And I said, no, you don't have to be scared of me, but you should be afraid of the wrath of the state of Texas, because that's what's going to happen. And then he says, well, fine. If you think you can win, that's what we're going to do. And I said, okay. No sweat off my back, because I said, I'm going to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and just go foul. I know what to do. Well, I get off the phone with him, and he messages. Now, mind you, he had me hire 7 people. He needed the services of 7 people. So he messages 2 of the people, and he says, hey. Now, this isn't a quote. This is, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, I'll pay you a little bit under the table. You know, we don't need to tell Michelle or anybody else, I'll pay you. We'll call it a donation or whatever. So, of course, my employees contact me, and they're forbidden to, you know, make any kind of the deals because that negates my original contract. So, of course, they didn't. And we all began a conversation with him. And almost instantly, I was blocked and deleted, and he won't answer calls. The next girl's blocked and deleted, he won't answer calls. The next one's blocked and deleted. Well, during the course of the research, that's when we had done a background check because this guy wants to run for president and he wants us to help. So we needed to know what was out there. And this was just the week prior. And so that's where these videos you've seen me put out on Facebook today came from. We recorded that, and it's in my contract that I record everything. And he knew he was being recorded. And he admitted to everything. He admitted to DUI. He admitted to not paying people. But it was always somebody else's fault. Like, it wasn't really his fault. It was somebody else's fault. So with that in mind, and now he's blocked and deleted us, I did send one last email, and I said, well, that's fine. I said, because tomorrow morning I'm going to just go to the courthouse and file, and I need you to also know I'm going to protect the rest of the world from a predator like you. So last night I didn't sleep much because this was yesterday. I started digging and digging and digging, and within just a few hours, I found almost 100 people he had wronged. Many of those people are either disabled or they're single parents who, just like you and anybody else, they take a job because they have bills to pay. They have kids to feed. And there's so many stories of people he hasn't paid. But his MO is always the same. He blocks, he deletes, and he won't address it. He blocks and he deletes and he won't address it. And you know what? So I'm going to put him on blast because what he forgot is I'm a screenwriter, right? I host an online talk radio program. So there's the first platform. My son hosts a show. There's a second platform. I work at the studios. Every studio I have contact with, I'm going to start putting him on blast because he wants to be president. So I'm going to put him on blast on a national level until he amends his wrongs. He owes us $7,000. He owes another man. Actually, I found 2 different people. He owes $12,000. I found another person. He owes $15,000. I found another woman. He owes $5,000. These aren't little sums of money. And he uses his position as a doctor to gain people's trust. You know, he talks about this clinic he owns and this other stuff. I made contact with that clinic, and out of respect for them and the fact that I don't want them to get hate mail over this, I'm not going to say the clinic's name. But he's a liar. He has no affiliation with that clinic. He has not seen patients there in a while. He has 000 affiliation. Yet when he decides to prey upon somebody, he uses that as a way in to gain trust, and that is not acceptable. And I do have a caller on the line. I don't know if they have a personal story to share or what's going on. Caller, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I have multiple callers on the line. Okay, so the caller that's calling me from the 843 number, did you have a story you wanted to share, something you wanted to share, or were you just listening in?
I was just listening in, but, you know, it sounds that if this guy was that much money and if you're going to put him on blast, I wouldn't recommend it because you're just going to be giving him free advertising on a national level. And we already have the occupant of the current, the current occupant that, that's the kind of mentality and that's the kind of
I see what you're saying. He's looking at bad publicity is still good publicity, huh?
Exactly. I mean, the current occupant does some crazy stuff. He lies blatantly, allegedly, and, you know, and then just denies stuff afterwards. So, I mean, what's to stop this guy from doing
mm-hmm. Nothing, so. Not much. I guess maybe I'll fight that battle in the courtroom. You got a good point. Thank you for sharing that. That's a very good insight. So, yeah, thank you for that. I'm going to put you on, you'll still be able to hear the show. I'm going to put you on mute for just a second. I have one more caller. Caller from the 494 number. Are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so, oh, hi, Wesley. Hi, Mr. Lawrence. I recognize that voice. How are you today?
Doing great, Michelle. How are you doing?
Okay, I'm good. So I always check when I see callers on the board because some people call to listen in and some people, you know, they have a personal experience to share or something like that. What do you think? The other caller said, hey, you know what? Putting him on blast is giving him free advertising. What do you think about that? What are your thoughts about that? And other caller, I'm sorry, but I unmuted both of you. But Wesley, what do you think about that?
Oh, you know, it's absolutely true. I think really the good publicity and the bad publicity of what really happened, even in 2016, is what truly escalated Donald Trump into the White House. I don't know if we'll be able to get traction on Mr. Leyva, but what he did is definitely not what your typical El Pasoan puts people through. You know,
exactly.
Your typical El Pasoan, when they have a contract, they meet that contract. And they always pay up front, and we take care of our own. And instead, that this person does not want to do that. I mean, I've known you guys for a couple of years. I've seen the work that you guys have done, and I understand that it takes a lot of time to do, you know, graphic design, videos, and all that stuff. So it's just sad that a guy who's running for president wants to essentially abuse what you guys have to offer. I mean, I've said it before that if you're going to run for political office, there's a certain amount of gravitas, honesty, and transparency that has to be put at the forefront. And when it's not, then it's a clear derelict of duty. You know, when you're running for office, when you have DWIs or you're not paying employees, this is all stuff that's going to come out, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just sad that this guy obviously didn't do his homework, and he thought that the majority of people were going to be, I guess, either scared or quiet.
Yeah, and I think that is what he's counting on, for the world to be quiet. I don't know. I appreciate y'all's input. I will definitely be following up in the court of law. I've spoken to many people who were wronged. I hope and I pray that every one of you can get some sort of resolution in the courtroom. If it's small enough, it can be a small claim. You don't need to pay an attorney for that. They'll walk you through the process of filling out that paperwork, but I do hope people get some resolution because this – and, you know, he's not the only predator out there, but hope nobody else gets taken care of.
Oh, sorry. One of the things that I wanted to – I don't know if it's possible to do, like, a class action thing because – there usually isn't compensation unless there's some sort of injury or something happened to people, right? And really, you don't know how this affected a lot of the people that have been ripped off, if you will, by this guy, right?
Exactly.
There's a possibility. You know what kind of hardships and what kind of, trials and tribulations that they had to, and that can produce, post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, when you're up against the
Absolutely.
Wall and you have bills and all these other things, I mean, that takes a toll and it's stressful on the individual itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you have contact to these people, maybe there's something that can be done overall for against this
mm-hmm.
individual. Just he's got absolutely no regards for anybody else, apparently. And I
zero.
This is just from what I've heard so far, right? So
and it is said the interesting thing. I did actually speak to one lady who told me she wound up in a homeless shelter after he took advantage of her and didn't pay her. So there are some pretty sad things, some pretty egregious things that went on. Many of the people I talked to, I did suggest, you know, it would be great. Maybe we should put our grievances together. And so I did put some information out there so people could kind of chew on that and decide what they would like to do. But at the end of the day, you know, a presidential candidate, whoever you are, whatever party you are, and he's nonpartisan, you shouldn't take advantage of people. You're supposed to be for the people, not taking advantage of the people. So that's my biggest upset is he emotionally and financially injured my team. But when I hear these other stories, it's really sad. It's really sad. He's ruined some dreams. He's ruined some goals. He's caused people some severe setbacks. I actually feel like one of the lucky ones. Compared to many of the stories I heard. So I don't know, but the clock is counting down, so we're going to have to wind this down. But, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for all of your input. Have a beautiful day, and maybe you can tune in tomorrow. We will interview Wesley Lawrence from Save El Paso. He's got some great things going on. Everyone have a good afternoon.
You too.
Big deal.